We're continuing our study in the 9th chapter of 1 Samuel. Last time we'd gotten through the 16th verse, or into the 16th verse, and the setting for this passage is that Saul and his servant are out looking for some lost asses. They've been looking for some 3 days now and have not been able to find them, so they've decided to consult Samuel, the seer or the prophet, to see if he could give them some information about where these animals might be. They're in the city of Ramah, and Saul is now looking for Samuel. It is a special day. There's going to be a feast at the high place in this city. That is where the altar is in the city. And Samuel's going to officiate at this feast, and he's on the way to that feast while Saul is walking through the city looking for him. And God has already appeared to Samuel and told him in verse 16, "Tomorrow about this time will I send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines." So God has already told Samuel that Saul is going to be there, and that he will send Saul to him. So Samuel is also looking for Saul, although Saul doesn't know this. He has no idea that he has been the one selected by God to be the king of Israel. He very likely doesn't even know that Israel is looking for a king. And then the 16th verse further says, this is God talking to Samuel. "He'll deliver my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me." So this shows that God still had a very tender feeling for his people. God has looked upon his people. "Their cry has come unto me." That is, their cry due to the oppression that the Philistines have brought upon them. That cry has been heard by God. He says that it has come unto me. Now, God is a very compassionate and tender God. And we have to realize that he is a God that does also have to live up to his government, to the laws and rules of his government. And although this is displeasing for him, to him, for the people to demand a king at this time, he still is very sympathetic and very amenable to the cries of the people. And so verse 17 says, "And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people." So as they were walking through the streets of Ramah, Saul looking for Samuel, and Samuel looking for Saul, then when Samuel saw the man Saul, the Lord revealed to him miraculously, "This is the man. This is the man of whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people." This is going to be the king. This is the man that's going to rule. He's going to be the king. This is the man that's actually going to cause you to diminish Samuel, because he's going to be the one to reign over my people. So we see that Samuel knows Saul before Saul knows Samuel. And this is the way it always is when we're seeking God and the things of God. We may be looking for God and not know what we're looking for in the beginning. But God always knows us first. He loved us first. And he recognizes us first. He knows our needs first. And so that's the way it is here. Samuel knows Saul first. Verse 18, "Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." So Saul had no idea this was Samuel that he was talking to. He didn't recognize him. And so he asked him where the seer's or the prophet's house is. Now we'd like to note here that Samuel was a man that was so unpretentious that as he was walking down the street, on the way to church, on the way to the high place, on the way to offering the sacrifice and officiating at the feast that went with it, he had nothing that would identify him as a prophet. He didn't wear any kind of special clothes, any kind of special garments. He didn't have any special colors about him. He didn't have any group of people who were acting as his servants and parading before or after him. He didn't have any signs announcing him. He didn't have any way to distinguish him from the other a common man on the street. Here was a man who was priest and prophet, and yet he had no habit to distinguish him from the other people by which Saul could recognize him. And we feel that this same principle of dress and behavior that Samuel followed at that time also applies to us today who are members of the family of God. So Saul asked Samuel the question, "Tell tell me where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. So Saul is immediately invited to go with Samuel to the feast, to go up to the high place. He is recognized by Samuel, and Samuel identifies himself to Saul. And so he says, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Today we're on the way to the feast. I'm on the way there. Time is pressing. We have many duties to attend to that are things that can't be put off. Let's take care of those today. Then tomorrow I'll tell thee all that's in thine heart. I'll let you know what you need to know tomorrow. As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. Now, Saul hadn't mentioned anything about the asses, and so this would be a proof to him that this man Samuel was miraculously inspired, that he could tell him things that no one else could tell him, because he knew immediately that he was thinking about these animals, and Samuel brought the subject up before Saul did, and he told him, they're found. Don't worry about them. And then he asked, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Now the question is, not where those asses are that you've lost. The question is, on whom is all the desire of Israel? That is, who is Israel looking to lead them? Who is Israel expecting to be put in this position of being king over the nation? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? Aren't you going to be the one that's going to be the very center of the nation very shortly? Aren't you the very one that Israel is looking to be their leader and their guide and their king? And it's going to, this great desire of Israel is going to fall on thee and on all your father's house. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Now even Benjamin was referred to at one time as the little one. Benjamin was the favored son of Jacob, and he was the immediate brother to Joseph. And Joseph, for a long time, was lost, and so the love that was felt for Joseph was then diverted in the direction of Benjamin. And he was the youngest son, but also this tribe of Benjamin is a small tribe because it had been reduced to only 600 men in the battle with Gibeah. And so Saul makes the remark, I'm of the smallest tribe of Israel. I'm of the least significant of all the tribes. And here you say that all the center of Israel is looking toward me. And he further says, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm of one of the least families in the whole tribe of Benjamin, and Benjamin is the least tribe. Now, as we mentioned earlier, each of these families of Benjamin were really well off because the whole substance of the tribe was divided among 600 families. So each family had a larger portion as their due part of that tribe than the families of the other tribes had, because there was only a small number, only 600 families, that then it did divide them after the civil war with Gibeah. So Saul further says, wherefore then speakest thou so to me? What would make you say such a thing to me? I'm of the small tribe of Benjamin. I'm of the smallest family of that tribe. And then why do you speak so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Now it seemed that Samuel doesn't give an answer to Saul's question right now. He just whets the curiosity of Saul by telling him some facts about what's going to happen. And Saul responds by saying, surely it can't be me. I'm a Benjamite, the smallest tribe, and I'm of a small family of that tribe. So at this time, they go on into the parlor of the place where they're going to eat the feast. And Samuel made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden. Now, ordinarily, those that were there would be the magistrates of the city and the higher persons in the society. They would have the chief places at the feast. But Saul and his servant were given the chiefest place among them that were bidden. And there were about 30 persons. So of the 30 persons, Samuel placed Saul and his servant in the most prominent seat at the whole table. And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. Now, the portion of the offering that belonged to the priest was the right shoulder. And sometimes it was the right shoulder and the breast. So it seems that Samuel took that portion that was his, the best part of the animal, actually, and he set it there before Saul. And he instructed the cook to do this. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So this was a special part of the sacrifice. It was reserved for the priest, but Samuel gave it to Saul. And he says, I reserved it for thee, since the time I said, I've invited the people. Ever since we made the invitation, this special piece here has been reserved for you. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. So we see Saul is given some very special treatment here. He's given the best hospitality that Samuel knows how to give. Now, we might think Samuel is going to be a little bit jealous and envious of the fact that here's the man that's going to take his place. Here's the man that comes in by demand of the people that they have a king. And it wasn't pleasing for Samuel to hear that they wanted a king. It wasn't pleasing to God to hear this. But once Samuel is resolved to the fact that this is the way God's going to handle it, and this is the way God has instructed him to carry it through, then there seems to be no envy, no jealousy, no feeling of ill on the part of Samuel towards Saul. He invites him to the feast, he puts him in the chief place, he gives him the best piece of meat, and he gives him the very best hospitality that he knows how to give. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. So after they had come down from the feast, they went up on top of the house, which was a place that would be common to go to sit and talk and even eat and sometimes sleep. This was considered to be another story on the house, and the roofs were flat. So they communed together there. And we don't know exactly what all they talked about. That's not discussed here. But no doubt Samuel gave him some more details about what was going on. How that the elders had come together at Mizpah. They had demanded to have a king. How he had prayed to God about this. And God had given the answer that he would allow the people to have a king. But he was going to choose the man. And how that then he had been told a couple of days before by God that this man would meet him from Benjamin, and he would be the one that God would place on the throne. So whatever Saul didn't know about these details, Samuel could have filled him in on it at this time when they came down and went up on the rooftop and communed or talked with each other. Verse 26, and they arose early. So the next day, they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. So now Samuel is getting ready to send Saul on back home. Now some think that Saul slept on top of the house that night, and Samuel is simply calling him to get up so he can send him on his way. Others seem to think that Saul was called up to the top of the house for a while so that Samuel could give him some parting words. But at any rate, it's early in the morning, it's the spring of the day, and Samuel is calling Saul to get up so that he can send him on his way. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. So now they start on the way back towards Saul's home, and Samuel is going with him a part of the way, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. So he wanted the servant to go on ahead so that he could have some private words now with Saul. So the servant passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the words of God. Now this was a very important thing that Samuel was going to tell Saul. so important that he wanted him to stand still for a moment, let him show them these things. He wanted to do it rather out of the ear range of the servant, because this was something just for Saul to hear right now. It was very important, very holy, and it was for Saul's ears only. But yet Samuel tells Saul this as they are coming out of the city, and Saul is on the way then to go back home. So now we move into chapter 10, which is just a continuation of where chapter 9 leaves off.